Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Smartbox Q3 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Saurabh Gilda from JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Saurabh.
Hi. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY26 earnings call of Smartbox Co-working Spaces. On behalf of Smartbox, we are represented by the senior management, Mr. Nitish Sharda, Managing Director, Mr. Harsh Gnani, Executive Director, Mr. Sahil Jain, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Aniruddha Taparia, Chief of Strategy and Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Nitish Sharda for his opening remarks. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very happy New Year. Q3 of FY26 marks the strongest quarter in Smartbox's journey and a clear shift into a compounding phase where growth, margins, and cash flows are improving together. At our scale, Smartbox is no longer a short-cycle occupancy business. We are an execution-led enterprise infrastructure platform built on four pillars: sustained growth, predictable annuity-like revenue, a structurally low-cost model, and a self-funded expansion. This positions us for durable and multi-decade relevance. Let me briefly touch upon performance and operating margins before handing over to Harsh for the growth drives and financial outlook ahead. During the quarter, revenue grew 34% year-on-year to 472 crores, while normalized EBITDA increased 86% year-on-year to 85 crores, with margin expanding to almost 18%. Importantly, this was a PAT-positive quarter under Ind AS, and operating cash flows exceeded EBITDA with an OCF to EBITDA ratio of 1.2x, operating cash flows standing at 101+ crores. These outcomes reflect the inherent operating leverage and cash-generating capability of our platform. Our growth today is firmly anchored in enterprise demand. In quarter three, enterprise clients continued to contribute approximately 90% of the rental revenue, with 35% of the rental revenue coming from large-format requirements of over 1,000 seats. Rental revenue from multi-city clients continues to be more than 30%, reflecting how large occupiers increasingly consolidate their workspace needs across locations through our reliable platform. At this scale, the flex workspace sector becomes an execution business. Our ability to secure large campuses, campus-style assets, and execute them at speed creates a flywheel of higher occupancy, improving margins, and rising return on capital. Equally important is revenue stability. Our client base is well-diversified, and today our top 10 clients contribute only about 21% of our rental revenue, a figure that has steadily declined even as deal sizes have increased. This enhances visibility, reduces concentration risk, and supports long contract tenures. On the supply side, we now have clear visibility for growth over the next several years. We have secured 100% of our supply for FY27, with substantial progress already made for FY28. We continue to see strong demand-led execution, with LOIs signed for more than 1.62 million sq ft, during the quarter and are committed to a sustained growth trajectory of 3 million square foot per year. Committed occupancy at our operational centers today rose to 92% from 88% quarter on quarter, securing over 4,700 crore in committed revenue across our 9.2 million square foot of operational mature centers. As these centers continue to ramp up to full maturity and new centers become operational, we expect to capture significant additional revenue over and above this figure, further accelerating our top line growth. As our platform matures and the base of centers expands, growth increasingly becomes self-funded. At scale, SmartWorks can sustain 25 to 30% annual growth without any incremental equity raise. To summarize, Q3 FY26 demonstrates that SmartWorks is no longer just scaling, we are compounding. With a structural advantage, cost base, enterprise-led demand, deep supply visibility, and strong cash generation, we believe we are well positioned to deliver a superior long-term outcome for shareholders. I will now hand over to Harsh to take you through the financials in more detail.
Thank you, Nitish, and good afternoon, everyone. As Nitish highlighted, Q3 FY26 marks an inflection point where the structural strengths of the smart work model are clearly visible in our financial performance. We operate at the intersection of flexibility and infrastructure. With long tenure enterprise demand, annuity-like revenues, and disciplined capital deployment at national scale. In Q3 FY26, revenue increased to 472 crores, up 34% year-on-year and 11% sequentially. The growth was driven by higher enterprise occupancy and ramp-up of our recently delivered centers. Normalized EBITDA rose to 85 crores, with margins expanding to approximately 18%, which is a bump of over 150 bps within the quarter. Importantly, this margin expansion was achieved without any material pricing action and was driven almost entirely by operating leverage and cost discipline. As we scale, corporate overheads remain low and stable, while brokerage and operating costs continue to trend downwards, spread over a larger base, reinforcing margin expansion. The core of our financial model lies in center-level economics. Mature centers operate at around 93% committed occupancy, with stable revenues and strong cost control. Conceptually, our mature centers exhibit a margin of greater than 27%, and that's largely driven by higher durable occupancy and tight cost control without necessarily compromising on tenures or any pricing action. The ROCE continues to expand meaningfully after the expiry of each payback period. For more details, refer to our shareholder letter. As new centers ramp up, they do not dilute margin. Once a center crosses its break-even point, incremental revenue flows disproportionately to EBITDA. As the share of mature centers increase, this effect strengthens, driving compounding at the portfolio level. This dynamic is clearly reflected in our improving ROCE, which continues to rise as capacity seasons and renewals kick in. Operating cash flow remains robust at 101 crores, translating into an OCF to EBITDA ratio of 1.2x. This reflects enterprise-led billing, high-quality receivables, and minimal working capital volatility. Our ROCE has significantly jumped by more than 800 bps, expanding from 14.3% to now less than 21%. And we see significant headroom for the ROCE expansion to continue in the foreseeable future. During the quarter, our credit rating was upgraded by 2 notches. To A, stable, reflecting the strength of our balance sheet and the cash flow profile of our enterprise clients. Following this upgrade, our cost of borrowing has further reduced and is now amongst the lowest in the industry. We have been pioneers of introducing cash flow backed lease rental discounting facilities with top financial institutions. For more details, refer to our earnings presentation. As we enter Q4, we expect further growth driven by the operationalization of approximately 1 million square foot of new supply and continued maturation of existing centers. We will also see a board expansion to further strengthen our corporate governance and help us as we scale up to the next leg of our journey. While managed offices remain the core driver, ancillary services such as fit-out as a service will increasingly support revenue growth and margin expansion as scale deepens. In closing, SmartWorks is transitioning from growth-led phase to a high-velocity cash compounding phase characterized by expanding margins, rising returns on capital, and increasingly self-funded growth. With that, we are happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side. First, GCCs contributed over 15% of rental revenue this quarter. With Smart Vantage platform now becoming live, how have the nature of your conversations with global Fortune 500 prospects changed? And are you seeing higher average deal sizes for GCC-focused deployments compared to standard enterprise clients?
Thank you, Karan, for the question. GCC continues to remain a very, very important driver for growth. For the next 3 years, with the launch of Smart Vantage, we are already starting to see very good momentum and traction. The conversation with a lot of our large enterprise has now moved away from space to a more holistic solution that the Smart Vantage platform offers, and this is already starting to show meaningful results on ground. In the last 9 months, the company has signed over 4 large mega GCC deals, which are over 1,000 seats plus, and these are well diversified across Europe and America. We expect that these numbers will continue to go up, and over the next 3 years, as the GCC wave continues in India, we are well positioned to take advantage. And during this course, Smart Vantage platform will also continue to evolve.
So, Harsh, this is the second question on the Q3 supply. So, with 2.6 million square feet, which was added just in the third quarter, your total super built up area has already reached 15.3 million square feet. So, how much of this new capacity is already pre-committed or reserved via LOIs? And what is the expected ramp-up time to reach the company-wide mature occupancy of 88%?
So, Karan, the beauty of our business is whether we take up a 400,000 square foot campus, a 100,000 square foot campus, or a 800,000 square foot campus, the ramp-up time to get to an occupancy of about 80-85% is similar across all the center sizes. With SmartWorks' unique ability of taking up mega campuses, with some of the deals that we've signed recently, with the Hiran Andani deal that we did in Vikhroli, we are seeing that both on the demand and supply side, growth is easier because we only have to take up one or two assets to get to the target number that we're targeting for every quarter. As far as visibility towards demand is, now we are in a phase where we are demand-led. Almost 30 to 35% of the building is pre-committed, driven by the interest generated from our existing clients before we go ahead and take a new building. That's why if you look at the 1,000+ seater deals, or if you look at number of clients who have done multi-city deals with SmartWorks, that has constantly been increasing. We are closer to about 35% in terms of multi-city deals as well as 1,000+ seater deals. You will see this being a unique factor for SmartWorks increasing quarter and quarter in the past as well as in the future. You'll see these numbers increase significantly. But we have significant visibility towards the demand.
Sure. And my last question, you reported a notable improvement in seat retention rate to 93% this quarter, up from 74% in Q2. Was this sharp increase due to a specific large client renewal cycle, or are you seeing a broader trend of clients moving towards longer locking periods?
No, I think it just coincidentally happened that the last quarter happened to be the 48 month mark from COVID. We did a lot of deals during COVID, which we wanted to renegotiate and get it to market terms. I think, having a retention rate closer to about 85%+ is something that you'll continuously see. There might be one or two quarters of abnormal numbers just because in that particular quarter, there might be a few deals that fall. But retention generally across the entire organization, if you look at Apache data as well as what we are projecting for the next few quarters, will be 85%+.
Great. Thanks, team. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from IISL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wish you all a very happy new year and congratulations for a great set of numbers. My first question is, if I look at the revenue mix for the quarter, the other operating revenue, which typically would have the VAS and the FAS component, has both meaningfully from about 22 crores to 66 crores. So could you give some breakup and color on that, and how is the trend looking forward? That's my first question.
Hi, Mohit. Anirudh this side. As far as our breakup of VAS revenue or SaaS revenue is concerned, that was at around 27.54 crores, and others were a mix of multiple items under ancillary.
So, Mohit, our ancillary revenue is because of the base of properties also increasing from going over 10 million. The existing properties occupancy is going up. The ancillary revenues or the supplementary revenues that we generate from our existing buildings have also gone up significantly. I think VAS or fit out as a service as a vertical is still a very small number out of the total revenue. It still only stands at about 27 crores for the quarter.
Okay. And in your shareholder letter, you do mention that there is going to be a sharp ramp up. Any outlook you can give or any guidance that you have for the next couple of years? How large can that segment be?
So I think we're continuously growing with the footprint growing 30-35% growth in that is also something that we can easily predict going forward, because this is without any new verticals getting added. Just the footprint growth is allowing us to grow at those numbers. We are also figuring out if there are other ways of improving the VAS margins, but currently what we can sort of give indication towards is that with the footprint growth of about 30-35%, these numbers will continuously, the ancillary revenue will keep going up by 30-35% year on year.
And to add to Nitish's point, Mohit, we've also clarified in our shareholder letter and in our prior conversations that SaaS and ancillary revenue will scale selectively over the next 2 years, primarily linked to the new enterprise and the GCC deployments, rather than being a standalone growth driver. Our focus remains on annuity rental revenue, with ancillaries providing incremental high margin upside without increasing our volatility. And importantly, we've also clarified that our VAS only has the take rate recognized in the revenue, keeping our earnings quality and cash visibility very stable.
Yeah, sure. So that is well understood. So when you are talking about take rates, how would the margins be different? So if you could, let's say the blended margins is 18%, what would be the margins on VAS if you could share that?
So our VAS, as we mentioned, only the take rate is recognized. The margin profile of VAS is significantly higher than our core business, given that there aren't any incremental costs associated with it. But again, we are starting with a very small base currently, and we will start to see this ramp up meaningfully over the next 2 years. And it continues to be very asset-light, both SaaS as well as PaaS.
And I think for us, Mohit, we'll treat the VAS as something that is more predictable also in our case, because this is something which is getting generated on a regular basis, where the amenities that we provide within the building is what is driving most of this growth. And with our occupancies increasing, this consumption within buildings will automatically keep growing up. So as Harsh mentioned, there is not a lot of cost attached since it's only a take rate and we get that. But growth will also be driven because of the occupancy growth within the building.
Sure, understood. My second question is on the overall margin outlook. Like, if on a year-on-year basis, it's gone up from 13 to 18. And Harsh mentioned in his opening remarks that the corporate overheads are stable and brokerage and everything is also trending down. So how do we see, as you kind of, your occupancy converges towards your committed occupancy, how do we see these margins, or where do we see these margins stabilizing, let's say 1 year out? If there is any directional guidance that you want to give, that will be helpful.
Sure, Mohit. So over the next 2 years, margins are expected to expand structurally quarter on quarter, driven by our portfolio maturity, our higher committed occupancy, and operating leverage, and not necessarily our pricing action. You've seen in our business model that our occupancy has always been durable and holding well even during downturn, COVID. So that is one of the primary drivers. And we have also ushered in a lot of new operational excellence initiatives. So in the next 2 years, you will start to see energy efficiency, solar gains, etc. all come in. During this period, our corporate costs is not expected to go up meaningfully. And in fact, because we are a pan-India platform, we have our corporate teams as well as center teams staffed everywhere. So as we increase our footprint across other cities, you will not see that to be an investment and a drag on our margin. Therefore, do not expect volatility in our margins going forward. And as a larger share of our centers move into maturity, this will allow incremental revenue to flow disproportionately to EBITDA. So therefore, margin expansion should be very steady and predictable without volatility.
And just to add to the point which Harsh also mentioned, on slide 16 of our investor presentation, we have also given a detailed breakdown of our capacity maturing. Our mature capacity stood at 7.8 million square feet as of December 25, which is expected to go up to 10.2 million square feet by the time we hit March 27.
Okay. And so for the mature... Yeah.
Sorry, just to summarize, I think we also mentioned that now we've entered into a compounding phase where the new centers which are getting added are significantly smaller in ratio of our matured center, because of which the new center's drag on profitability is not going to be as effective. That's why you'll see the margins continuously increase. So a mix of operational excellence, as Harsh mentioned, maturity of new centers as Anirudh mentioned, and the fact that compounding effect is now kicking in, all three will drive margins higher.
Sure. So just to summarize, if your mature centers are doing 27% margins, over 27% margins, your blended portfolio today is 18%, you basically see the trend going closer to that level, maybe in the 20 to 25 mark. Is that the right assumption to make?
Predicting those numbers might be a little difficult, though. We can't comment on those numbers, but what we can say is continuously, the increment is continuously happening. It is because of a compounding effect of more mature centers getting added and the new centers being a much smaller portion. So when will it happen? It's a little difficult to map that out, but volatility in our business is very, very low and predictability on cash flows are very, very high. So that's allowing us to continuously grow.
Sure. Great. Just one last question on the, you've given the 4,700 crore committed rental number. Is it possible to share within this how much is locked in out of this 4,700 crore?
Sure. It will be approximately in excess of 2,500 odd crores.
Okay. Perfect. Those are my questions.
And our retention rate, Mohit, as you are aware, has always remained very high over the last 3 years. So we use the committed rental revenue as a very healthy barometer to measure particularly our asset liability mismatch, which for the next 2 years is completely eliminated as well and will continue eliminating going forward.
Just a small update, currently stands in excess of 3100 odd crores.
Okay, awesome. Thanks a lot, that was useful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep RS from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on the seat under fit out, which is currently 9,000 seats, whereas we are guiding around 23,000 seats will be added by the Q4. So how this gap will be filled? So the seats which are yet to be handed over, we are expecting it will come live by mid of Q4. That is my first question. Yeah.
Yes, when you look at with respect to the seats which are actually going to come over in our investor presentation, we've actually given a breakdown that approximately 1 million square feet is actually going to get operational in the next quarter itself. And then gradually, when these yet to be handed over, you will see continues to move towards under fit out and incrementally it will move to an operational footprint.
And to your question on the gap, this is going to be filled through a combination of pre-committed enterprise movements. Nitish had clarified earlier that about 30% is our pre-commitment as we take larger campuses. We already have very healthy pipeline of LOIs already signed, and we are starting to see more traction on the expansion from our existing multi-city clients. So basis this, we have a very strong visibility already in place. It's not necessarily an empty capacity. And as you'll see, ramp up, going up in an orderly fashion, new center sizes, in spite of it being of a significantly larger size, we are not seeing too much difference in terms of the ramp up months.
Thank you. So, secondly, I just want to understand more about the supply sourcing strategy. As you said, like 30% of, say, the incremental capacity would be committed by tenants. So is it like once they give commitment, then we will go and fetch supply, or is it like the supply currently in pipeline already has 30% say commitment from client? So to understand more about how we manage this demand supply incrementally as we go forward.
So I think our supply acquisition strategy is to go deeper in micro markets where we are seeing most of the demand coming from our existing customers. I think they are the first level of check, where essentially before going into any of the new centers, we get a sense of where is the expansion coming in from our existing customers, which is allowing us to do to go towards that expansion. It necessarily doesn't mean that there is a pre-commitment from the customer on the building the day we sign it, but it is an indicative commitment towards where their business is growing. How you should look at this this detail is with the number of months that it's taken us. Despite the larger building that we've taken, so despite taking up 400,000-600,000 square foot buildings, we're still able to get to that maturity mark within the first 12 months itself, which is what we're continuously demonstrating across all the small, large, and mid and large formats of centers that SmartWorks is taking. So there's necessarily not a back-to-back deal that we go after, but it is an indicative demand from our existing customers, which in most of the cases does get converted just because of the value proposition that we've given back to our customers.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from the participants in the conference call, we request you to kindly limit your questions to per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue again. The next question is from the line of Murtuza Arsiwala from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations, sir. Just one question, just again further delving into that other revenue outside of the lease rental. Could you be able to give us a sense of, what would be the EBITDA flow through the adjusted EBITDA from that 60 odd crores? So, what would be the approximate EBITDA against that?
So, I think if you break that down, SaaS obviously has a certain margin that you work on. If you look at the ancillary revenue that is coming in, Murtaza, that doesn't attach a lot of cost to HR. Those costs are already, we don't track it separately because those are usually the building costs which would be included in the electricity rentals and some of the other aspects of the building itself. So to bifurcate that might be difficult. Having said that, you know, just to reiterate what we had mentioned earlier, these ancillary revenues are not something that is, you know, that's happened this quarter. It is something that is continuously growing. It will automatically be there because of the high occupancies that are there in the building. Most of the revenue comes from services which are dispatched within the building on a day-to-day basis. Things like food, parking, internet, which is consumed by the users on a day-to-day basis. So, giving a separate number and it might be a little difficult. What we can say is that the take rate is what we account for and not the entire revenue. The actual entire revenue would be about, the GMV for this would be about at least 8 to 9 times of the figure that we've reported because our average take rate is between 10 to 12%.
Okay. But most of that fees, the monthly is all recurring. There is not too much for non-recurring in this quarter. Just because of the monthly. Disproportionately higher compared to the base periods is the reason I'm checking.
No, absolutely. And it's because of increased occupancy and increased footprint. I think both of them will automatically drive. You'll see these numbers continuously go up.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vandit Jain from Stage 1 Investments. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Strong quarter, strong numbers. My only question is on operating cash flows. So in H1, our OCF was impacted by security deposits. So the current 101 crore of OCF that we have reported for Q3, is there any positive or negative impact of security deposits this time around?
So as far as security deposit is concerned, we continue to pay security deposit for upcoming properties as well. So even in this quarter, we have paid security deposit for our upcoming LOI. So it's a recurring part of our business where we continue to pay money for future.
And on a more strategy basis, we've also maintained the stance that our business is a cash flow focused business where OCF is always higher than EBITDA, driven by our negative working capital as well as strong enterprise collection. So from that perspective, while you might see quarter-on-quarter numbers move, however, sustainably you will always see this greater than 1 and settle more in the range of 1.2 on a more long-term basis.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Fainal Brahmabhat from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please do.
Yes.
Yeah. So, first of all, congratulations for the healthy quarter performance. Considering the first ever report card in this quarter, which was supported by strong top-line performance, so what is the management guidance or outlook for the top-line performance or I can say reported PAT margin for FY26 or FY27? If you can share some guidance on that, so that would be very helpful.
Certainly. Thank you for the question. Structurally, we've maintained we are in that high growth phase. What has been interesting about this quarter is the inflection, where we are now firmly entering into compounding phase. So you can expect that our growth levels will continue be maintained over 25 to 30%. But this will be complemented with a margin growth which is higher than that. And you will also start to see our OCF and our ROCE numbers continue to jump up. So while we do not wish to comment specifically on the FY27 numbers, but the 4700 crore committed rental revenue and a growing proportion of our portfolio becoming mature will give the confidence that the structural change will continue to improve our overall numbers quarter on quarter. Thank you.
Okay, and we also noticed that brokerage percentage of revenue from lease rentals increased in the this quarter, like to 3.5% and from 2.5%. So, what is the sustainable level for this brokerage percentage of considering percentage of revenue, and what is the management guidance for upcoming quarters?
So, on a brokerage cost, First, structurally, we want to mention that you've seen a sharp drop over the last 3 years, where the numbers were close to about 4.7%. And in the recent quarter, this has gone down to 2.5%. We expect that this operating leverage and the margin expansion we've seen because of our cost of acquisition coming down, largely driven by our strong franchisee, a lot of multi-city expansion, we will continue sustaining a similar trend. Of course, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, you might see fluctuations given as a result of some of the new large deals that are getting signed up. But structurally, the numbers that we've shown as a trend over the last 3 years will continue to hold good.
And we have also given these details on page 31 of the investor presentation.
Okay, great, great. Thanks for the answer. That's it for my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pal Balar from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I wanted to ask you, like, as we are going to increase the GCC client's revenue contribution, so could you please explain me how is it different from enterprise client and GCC client in terms of price per seat and the margin profile, or is it just mainly occupancy driven?
It is mainly occupancy driven from depending on where the demand is coming from. The demand in real estate in India is now shifting towards GCCs, which are coming and taking up disproportionate space. If you look at last year, almost 80 million plus square foot of absorption of office was there, which was driven through the GCC clients. I don't think there is price differentiation between a GCC or a large enterprise coming and taking up space. Smartworks has always priced itself at a value price so that people who are looking at long-term commitments with 1,000-plus-seater deals are where our focus is on. So I don't think that pricing really changes. It's only our ability to capture the new demand which is coming into the market. And you'll see that percentage as a total revenue has already increased to 15%+, and you'll see those numbers continuously grow up while we capture more and more demand from the GCCs coming into India.
And the interesting nugget about GCCs is that unlike typical enterprises, GCCs are setting up permanent operating centers, leading to significantly larger campuses and longer tenures. And we are also seeing a lot of pan-India expansion as they continue to scale up. So from that perspective, the earnings quality of a GCC is significantly better than any typical enterprise. Hope that answers the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Happy New Year to the team as well. My first question is on the revenue growth. If I look at the operational or the lease footprint as well as the occupied number, that has gone up by, let's say, 21% for the occupied base. But revenue has grown at about 34%. So is it entirely led by the other income portion, or there has been some increase in the average revenue per seat as well for the quarter on a YoY basis?
So Sumit, as you would have seen, our retention rate in the last quarter was down to 72%. So there is obviously a natural growth in revenue of about 5%. Which is contractually with the companies that are coming in, which is reflecting there. Plus, I think our overall occupancies have gone up to from 80% to 84%, which is also driving most of this revenue. Plus, the retention rate last quarter was at 72%, which has now increased again. It means that we were able to reprice some of the deals that were there in COVID, which were at much lower numbers, which we were able to reprice again. I think the ancillary revenue that you are seeing is something that will sustainably grow at the pace at which it is growing. FAS is the only new vertical which is added, and as a contribution in this quarter, FAS is only stands at about 27 crores. So if you look at the operating margins from the business or operational revenue from the business, we would consider the ancillary revenue generated from the building as well as the new seats which are added, as well as occupancies or re-rating of our existing centers where we were able to get better numbers from our existing inventory, all of them contributing towards the higher margin.
Sure. Fair enough. My second question is on the pipeline. There is about 4 million odd which is under LOI or term sheet. Any risk you see of those maybe falling off, or what will be the conversion ratio that the management would like to guide us on, and by what timelines would these 4 million come and become commissioned or operational?
The 4 million that you are seeing is our growth throughout FY27 and FY28. This is something that is taking care of almost the entire requirement that is coming in till FY28. These are deals which are already signed, executed. Certain things are under LOIs and term sheets till the time the building doesn't get to a certain stage, or certain tenant improvements need to be done in the building, where that is when it will get converted. But the deals are already secured, where the formal documentation has happened to a level where there are certain condition precedents before we go ahead and finalize the final terms on those buildings. So we're just waiting for those condition precedents. So the visibility that we have given towards 15.6 is on the deals that we are certain is going through, and this takes care of our entire requirement through FY27 and almost 80-85% of our requirement to FY28. So supply is not an issue for our growth, for SmartWorks' growth anymore. It is only our ability of executing continuously through the next few quarters.
And historically, Sumit, our fall-offs have been very limited. And what has structurally changed in our business in the last 9 months, and particularly more so post-IPO, is that the supply tie-up has become even stronger, and courtesy of strong institutional partnerships with leading developers in each of the cities we are present in, alongside our network of non-institutional developers that we've cultivated over the last few years, we continue to see this relationship getting elevated to the next level. And as Mr. rightly pointed out, supply will drive a lot of new growth, but the fact that it is all certain and our model is very scalable augurs well for our future growth outlook. Thanks again.
Sure. Okay. I'll come back if you have more.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashas Gilganchi from BOB Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. With 35% of your revenues now coming in from tenants leasing greater than 1,000 seats, I'm trying to get a sense of the risk to occupancy when such a tenant vacates. So do you expect such tenants to renew their contracts? And if so, how many times before they decide to lease directly with the landlord? And in your view, how many of these tenants do you expect to stay on after the end of the lock-in period?
Sure. So Yashas, if you look at 1,000-plus seater deals, these are not short-term requirements that are coming. These are 1,000-plus seater deals on an average have a tenure of over 50 months, and it has continuously been increasing. In fact, if you look at the tenures from FY22, 1,000-plus seater deals, which were 12% of our revenue, on an average had 42 months tenures. Those tenures have increased to 52 months. And the lock-in periods for these tenures have also increased in the same fashion. While 1,000 might seem like a big number, but if you look at the size of buildings that SmartWorks is also taking, 1,000 seats in most of our larger building formats would be single-digit occupancies only. It is not like we're doing back-to-back deals where the occupancies for these centers are at risk because a client moving in reduces your occupancy from 800 or 90 to single digits. It's actually only a small portion of the occupancy risk. Second, we also have notice periods with most of these customers in place. Even if they choose to move out, there is a 6 month notice period, 6 to 8 month notice period that they need to give before they can actually move out. In that time, we're able to refill those centers despite having a 93% retention rate, which we think is going to continue at 85%+. Even if they move out, for us to refill that center, we have enough ample time to find an alternate tenant to come and fill up that center also. So So 1000 plus Sita is more stable because it's more long tenured. It is not because it's just a large deal and it's short tenure, and we have to keep selling those 1000 feet every year.
And for more details as such, you can also refer to page 18 of our investor presentation.
Okay, understood. And my next question, and sorry to keep going on about this, is on other operating revenues. I see that they have actually jumped significantly. Like if I were to just take an average, about 4.3% over FY23 to 25, and 6.2 in FY25, and it's about 14% as of 3Q26. So I'm just trying to understand what, you did speak about what is driving this. How do you expect this to, this other operating income or other operating revenue to trend going forward? Or is that not the right way to think about it?
So if you look at it from the financials of the company's point of view, it is only driven. It's still at about 4.3% today from the revenues of ancillary revenues that we are generating. The 27 crores VAT vertical is something that we've set out as a service vertical, was something that we started only this year, and that is contributing the additional 2.1% on the entire revenue. But if you look at the growth in the other income, it is mainly driven because of higher occupancy. The 4.3, which is from our VAS, value added services in the buildings of SmartWorks, that continues to grow. What is different from last year is, last year the VAS number was much, much smaller. This year that VAS number is increased. In this particular quarter, it is at about 27 crores. But the ancillary revenue remains stable. So the additional amount of 2% that you're actually seeing is only from the fit out as a service vertical that we are generating.
And another point, we also reported that our monthly committed revenue, that is also tied 150 odd crores on a monthly.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Shah from Suniti Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi team. I just had one small question. You have a large foreign investor named Capital Land with 14.91% stake. Could you give us an idea about how this stake will be monetized in future?
Thank you, Aditya. Capital continues to be a long-term supportive shareholder who has invested in from their balance sheet in 2019. We've reached out to Capital and they've mentioned that there are no immediate plans for them to sell. Of course, like any other institutional investor, they might evaluate opportunities in the future. However, this action would be orderly and not disruptive in any way.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashwardhan Agarwal from IIFL Capital Asset Management Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes,
please proceed.
Yes. Hi team, good morning and congratulations on good set of numbers. So two questions from my side. First, could you please elaborate on the smart rentals as an offering? I know you have mentioned it in your letter, but can you elaborate that what exactly is the offering and how does it play smart work differently versus other planning office space? And on the similar line, is it generally a big problem for the GCCs that we are trying to solve, or is it just a complementary offering that we are providing them? That would be my first question.
Certainly. Thanks a lot, Yash, for that question. SmartVantage addresses a very core GCC problem, which is of speed, compliance, and execution at scale. So far, our offering was limited to workspaces, but SmartVantage takes it a level further by where we become a one-stop solution and offer ready-to-operate campuses with all the regulatory and technology and partner support, enabling GCCs to go live in just 6 to 8 weeks. Typically, during that period, they are also evaluating where to expand and how their India operations is settling. So therefore, we believe that SmartWorks, because of its pan-India footprint and our campus strategy, allows us the flexibility of taking care of both their national needs as well as going live very quickly and scaling up also very aggressively with us as their need firms up. This is where we clearly distinguish from any other provider, and we see a very promising outlook in future for GCCs.
Okay, and how do we plan to monetize it?
currently our workspace offering will not see any change. We will continue to get that annuity revenue from GCCs. For all the partner-led services which are going to be offered by our partners to these GCCs, similar to our VAS, we will be having a take rate, which will flow straight to our bottom line. So you will see the GCCs coming in, not only expanding our workspace revenue, but also our other take rate revenue.
Got it. That is helpful. My second question is on the retention rate. So could you please share the retention rate across different seat cohorts? That what is it for the 1,000 plus seats versus, let's say, below 1,000? And how has that been across the years? And second question would be, what are the nature of the clients that we are acquiring? That is, how much of them are coming from switching from the existing player, and how much are offering, how much are coming to SmartWorks as a first choice?
Maybe let me start to answer with the second question first, and then I'll hand it over to Anurag to answer the first question. Most of the demand in SmartWorks is actually coming from enterprise clients. It's a unique set of clients which are moving into SmartWorks to look at traditional offices as an alternate. The reason that SmartWorks is able to get much long tenures and the size of deals that they are getting is because people are looking at SmartWorks as an alternate to traditional offices rather than moving from any other flex player into a SmartWorks setup. If you look at the expansion, the reason that most of these clients are expanding also with multi-city deals with SmartWorks is about 35%. It means that once they come into the ecosystem, they go ahead and grow across multiple geographies. And if you look at our focus, 95% plus of our revenue actually comes from enterprise, large enterprise clients. So while we have over 200,000 seats as we speak, but it only commensurates with about 750, 760 plus clients. It doesn't, we don't have thousands of clients, 2,000-3,000 clients who are occupying these number of seats. So only 760 seats. So they're more sticky in nature, more permanent, more predictable, and are looking at SmartWorks as an alternate to traditional offices rather than, moving from clients.
And just a question with respect to retention. I would just like to give a breakup with respect to how is revenue forming on the lease rental side. As you mentioned, 1,000 plus is 35% plus of our lease rental revenue. Between 300 to 1,000, it is approximately 32 to 33% of our revenue. That is why 300 plus actually becomes a very large base at around 70-odd%. And as far as retention is concerned, we continue to track and evaluate retention at a company level because bulk of our clients are actually enterprises, as Nitish mentioned, is at 90%. So that is why we track retention on a company level basis and not on a seat cohort level basis.
Got it. And if I could ask the last question, that would be on the absolute CapEx number for next 2 years, for FY27 and 28.
Sure. We have maintained consistently that going forward, for maintaining our 25 to 30% growth rate, we will continue being self-funded. Prior to ICO, the capital that was raised, 500 crores, is already generating very healthy cash flows. We are yet to fully utilize the IPO proceeds that we had raised. So that will also meaningfully help us add our CapEx capacity over the next few years. For 2.5 to 3 million square foot addition every year, we envision a CapEx of 350 to 400 crores every year, for which the company is very well capitalized and external capital raise will not be required.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siva Prakash P from Althoff PMS. Please go ahead. Siva Prakash, please proceed with your question.
Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So you had mentioned that you were planning to expand by 3 million square feet per year. So could you please give me more info about where these new centers are going to be expanded? Like, are you planning for a more tier 1 based expansion or tier 2 based expansion? And also, could you talk about your Singapore center if you're planning to expand on the same?
So If you look at our expansion to 3 million square foot is something that we've already locked in for the year, for FY27 and for FY28. Majority of the growth is driven in tier 1 cities in India, where we are going ahead and consolidating our leadership position in most of the larger cities where SmartWorks is present. We have grown across cities like Mumbai, Pune, Bangalore, Hyderabad. If you refer to our page 15 of the of our presentation, you will see how this is distributed across almost all the major cities and how we're consolidating our position and leadership position in all of these cities. So most of it is going to be driven through the tier 1 expansion itself, where we are seeing deeper interest, deeper demand coming in from large enterprise clients. As far as Singapore is concerned, it was more of a strategic presence, realizing that demand in India comes from large enterprises who have their headquarters based out of in Southeast Asia, based out of Singapore. We wanted to be closer to the decision makers. There is no immediate requirement for us to increase our base in Singapore. It was mainly to create a presence so that we are closer to the decision makers. And I think it's turned out very well for the company, because we are seeing those synergies flow through the demand which is coming to us from Singapore to India, as well as from India to Singapore.
Right,
and Singapore is profitable for us within for the past few quarters.
And it has margins higher than India typically. Thank you.
Yeah. And are you planning to focus more on Tier 2 going forward, as your competitors are planning, or how is it going to be?
We're seeing India is about 90%+ of India's demand actually comes from the top 9 cities. Our focus is to go deeper. With the campus style large setups that we have, tier 1 will always dominate it, because getting an 800,000-900,000 square foot building is something that will be available in tier 1. Tier 2, the volume of such campuses might be much, much smaller. So while you will see SmartWorks entering into new cities, we are present in 6 tier 2 cities already as we speak. But I think the tier 1 will have a disproportionate growth, just because of the size of properties that are available in these locations and the SmartWorks strategy of taking up full large campuses, buildings, which is unique to our model, which is what keeps our focus more on tier 1.
Understood, sir. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Binani for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for patiently hearing us for the last hour, and we look forward to continue engaging with you. Our team remains available to answer any questions. Hope you do get the time to go through the exhaustive collateral material that we've uploaded, our shareholder letter, as well as the earnings presentation. And here's wishing all of you a very happy new year again, and look forward to a great year for the company and interacting more with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.